As I said this morning, I love the Christmas season because it's a season when I think about the Lord coming into this world the first time, and I also begin to think about His second coming, and that gets me excited to think about His coming again. And I want you to turn with me to the same text I looked at this morning, Luke chapter 2, verse 19, as we looked at Mary. And I want to just read that verse again to you and with you. Luke 2. And notice what it says there about Christ's coming in verse 19. Luke 2 and verse 19. And I'll read it together. It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." We said this morning that when Christ came the first time, that He made things known about His coming, and an angel came to Mary and said to Mary, she was a virgin girl, she was engaged to be married, but had never been with a man. She was a godly young lady, about 15 years old, we believe. She was engaged to be married, and when she was told that she was going to have a baby, she said, "How? How's that going to be?" And God said, "I'm going to do a miracle. You're going to have a baby so that this child will be the only child that can be called the only begotten Son of God, because God's going to be his daddy. And it's going to be a miracle by the Holy Spirit that's going to make you to be pregnant by a miracle of God." And she was willing to let that happen, even though what would her father say? Even though what would her family say? Even though what would her husband-to-be say? And they all didn't understand it. And she had to pay a price because she pondered in her heart the Word of God and received it into her heart. And I'm afraid there are some people tonight that you're maybe like the people at that first Christmas time when Jesus was born. There was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. They had to go in a stable to have the baby. People did not make room for Him. They did not receive Him. They were not looking forward to His coming. They didn't even know that He was going to come. And many people are like that today. He's coming again, and people are ignorant of the prophecies of His second coming rather than being excited about it. And tonight, as God's people, I say we ought to be ready, and we ought to take this stuff in that God gives us about the coming of the Lord, even though it may mean that we're going to have to pay a price for what we believe. And we may pay a price when the Lord comes back ourselves, like Mary did. Secondly, we saw that because she pondered in her heart, like we ought to ponder it in our heart when God speaks to us about the Lord, it involved her proving God's power. We found out that Elizabeth, her cousin, who was an older lady, who was barren and who was too old to have children, she was 6 months pregnant by a miracle with a little baby named John the Baptist. That baby, when Mary came down to visit Elizabeth, that baby jumped in Elizabeth's womb because she knew that Mary, that baby knew that Mary was pregnant with the Messiah, and he was going to be a preacher, and he was already filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, and he jumped in the womb. I think John the Baptist has more excitement than some independent fundamental Baptists after Thanksgiving. Amen? He jumped in the womb. He was excited about the Lord. Are you fired up about the Lord tonight? Are you excited about His coming? I'll tell you, I honestly am. It really gets me thinking. And Mary got pondering in her heart about the power of God, because how am I going to have this baby? Well, if Elizabeth got pregnant, she's an old lady and she's barren, can't the Holy Spirit make you pregnant, Mary? Can't He do a miracle? And Mary believed it. She believed the Word of God. And maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're afraid to trust God. Don't be afraid. Trust and obey, and you'll see God's power work in your life when you trust and obey and do what God wants you to do. And so pondering involves paying a price. It involves depending on the power of God. It also involves perceiving who Christ was, perceiving His person. You see, Mary, when the baby was born from her, she knew that's a baby boy. That baby boy has my DNA. Mary was a descendant of King David, and that baby was her son. He was a human being. But God said to her, through the shepherds, that baby is God. It's not just a boy that you've had. Remember, that baby is God. And the Bible said when Mary realized that, she pondered it in her heart. And then later on when Jesus was 12 years old, Jesus said to her, when she said, you know, you weren't here for your father and I. We wondered where you were. You've been missing. And how could you do this to us? And he said, I must be about my father's business. In other words, he reminded her that Joseph was not his natural father, that he was born by a miracle, that God was his father, and that he was equal with God. And she thought about that. She began to think about Jesus and his person. And what are you going to think about this Christmas? The reindeer? The elves? Santa Claus? What are you going to do this Christmas time? And the world doesn't even want to call it Christmas. They want to call it a winter holidays or some pagan thing in post-Christian America. We want to get rid of God and get rid of Christ. But listen, God said he wants us to ponder in our heart about the Lord so that we can recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, and we can really enjoy him and have a close relationship with him. And so that involves perceiving his person when you ponder these things in your heart. And one more thing I want to talk about tonight, that pondering in your heart involves your prizing Christ's prophecies. I want you to notice again in Luke 2, it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Do you prize the Word of God and the prophecies of the Word of God? You know, King Herod did not prize the prophecies of the Lord. He despised the prophecies of the Lord. And there are people like that today. Although he was a hypocrite about it, when the wise men came, they traveled 600 miles. Get this. They traveled 600 miles after Jesus was born because they had the scriptures that Daniel had left them, Daniel the prophet, in the country of Iraq that they were from. They had read the scriptures, and they were astronomers, and they knew about the stars, and they knew there was a special star pointing to the king being born that was predicted in the scripture of the Hebrew prophets. And they traveled 600 miles, a great entourage of people, probably hundreds of them, traveled and came with gold and frankincense and myrrh to pay homage to the king. And they traveled over all these difficult things. Why? Because they wanted to see the king. And they got there to a Western king who represented the West. They were from the East. They represented a Western king by the name of Herod, who reigned under the Caesars. And Herod said, oh yeah, I've been looking for him too. I want to worship him. When you find him, tell me where he is. Now, by the way, when the wise men came, he was not in a stable anymore. He was already in a rented home in Bethlehem area where Mary and Joseph had traveled. He was older by then. He was still a baby, an infant, like maybe a toddler. And he was in a rented home at that point. And God told them, don't go back and tell the wise men the prophecy of where he is, because he will try to kill him. He's jealous. And Herod wound up killing all the babies 2 years old and under to try to kill him because they didn't tell him where he was. And that's the way he was. He did not love the Lord. He hated the things of God. And there are people today in the United States of America, the ACLU, you ever heard of those guys? You ever hear of Americans people for the American Way and those groups and all these groups today in America that are against the Lord, and they want to get rid of the Lord, and they want to get rid of Christmas and any remembrance of the Lord. And if they'd have their way, we wouldn't be preaching from the Bible about the Lord right now. They don't want that, you see. Or they want you to preach in church, but don't take it outside of church anyway. They don't want that. And so tonight, I'm saying to you that we need to be those that prize the prophecies about the Lord coming back. And I want you to notice in Luke chapter 2, there was an old man that prized the prophecy about the Lord coming the first time. And in verse 25 of Luke 2, here's what it says. If you got your Bible, follow along. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I wonder tonight, how many of you are eagerly waiting for Jesus to come back? I wonder if you girls were engaged and a guy was over in Iraq and he was coming back. You didn't know exactly when he was going to get leave, and you were going to have your wedding when he got back. How many of you would be excited about that? I think you would be.
And how many of you are eagerly waiting for the Lord to come back? I can honestly say, as a pastor tonight, from the time I've been 17 years of age until the present time, I have been eagerly waiting for the Lord to come back. I am excited about the Lord coming, not just when I was 17, but all the way up. And I'm saying, I believe that God has people that love His appearing. And the Bible promises a crown, a special crown to those that love the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's going to come back again. And if you love this miserable, old, evil world, good for you. But I love the world to come. I love the kingdom of Christ. I love it when Jesus comes back.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it. And so, this man was like that. He was waiting, and he was getting really old. He was getting old. He said, man, I'm getting old. And so verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I'll tell you what. I don't want to see the undertaker. I'd rather see the upper taker.
Amen.
If I could be here when the Lord comes back, I would choose to be here when the Lord comes back, because I'm excited about the prophecies of Jesus coming back again. And this man was like that. And the Bible says that that this individual, in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, I want to tell you tonight, this man saw the first coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe that you will see the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe we're living in those days.
Yep.
And I want to say to you tonight that you need to ponder these things in your heart, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the only way you can really get a blessing is not only by reading it and hearing it, by what? Keeping it. That's what Mary did. The word keep in there about Mary in Luke 2 was she treasured it like you would treasure gold and silver, like a buried treasure. She treasured it like you treasure priceless jewelry. Do you treasure the prophecies about the Lord coming back? Are you looking for those prophecies to be fulfilled? Or are you like the Jews who knew the Bible? They knew all about the Bible. They knew he would be born in Bethlehem. When Herod asked, they could tell you he's born in Bethlehem. They knew it, but they did not know when he was born. They missed it altogether. And I believe there are born-again Christians today. I believe there are Christians that know the Bible pretty good, but they're going to miss it. They're missing a lot of the prophecies, and God has not opened their eyes to see it. And don't you be like that. You be those that you understand the prophecy of the Word of God, because God wants you to love His appearing. The Lord wants you to love His appearing, because if you love His appearing, that means you love Him. Amen? And you want to see Him, and you're looking forward to Him coming back. And I know if I'm preaching here tonight, there are some that are here tonight, you don't love His appearing. You don't want Jesus to come back. It might spoil your life or your plans or your goals or whatever. But I want to tell you tonight, if you really love the Lord, there's got to be a love for His appearing in your heart. And I want to talk to you about some things that point to the fact that the Lord is coming back again. And let me just say this. One of the things that tell us that the Lord is coming back is the fact that God said that He would not come back until He brought back His people back into their promised land. And I want to tell you, for almost 1900 years from AD 70 on, the people were taken away from their land, the Israelites, the Jewish people, God's people. They were taken away from their land. And for 1900 years, they weren't in their land. But guess what? They came back to their land from 1894 all the way up through 1948. They came back to their land, and it tells us that in November 29, 1948, the UN voted to have Israel divide the promised land between them and the Palestinian Arabs. And in May of 1948, David Ben-Gurion said that Israel, based on that UN resolution, we are a nation among the nations of the world, and they came back to their land and conquered their land and were in their land. They were attacked in 1948, right after they got their nation by the Arabs, and God delivered them. And in June of 1967, in 6 days, they recaptured the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says that before the Lord comes back, they have to rebuild their temple in the city of Jerusalem. They captured the city of Jerusalem, and they had the opportunity to rebuild their temple. Their head rabbi said, blow up the Mosque of Omar. We're going to rebuild our temple. Let's do it right now. That was 40 years ago. And the nation of Israel decided, no, we're not going to do that. Instead of depending on God, we're going to depend upon keeping peace with the world. And so they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But they did fight wars. They fought a war in 1948. They fought a war in 1956. They fought a war in 1967. They fought a war in 1973 to keep their promised land. And God predicted, though, even though they fought these wars, and even though God helped them and defeated their enemies, 60 million Arabs that tried to drive them into the sea, even though God took care of them and helped them in these wars, God predicted in His Word that they would turn to peace. That they would make a covenant with a leader who would prove to be a beast. He would prove to be a leader that would try to destroy them, and that this leader would be there in the last days, and they would make peace with him, and that they would look to him for protection over their enemies, and they would look for peace instead of war over their enemies. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, that God would say that the Israelites would call for peace and safety. And the Bible says just before Christ returns, there would come a falling away first. And that is that the Jewish people, instead of depending on God and keeping their promised land and helping God to keep their promised land. You see, God doesn't want the Jewish people to give away their promised land. He gave that to them as a covenant with their father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He doesn't want them to give it up. That's their land. And the Bible says, though, listen to me, before the Lord comes back, the Jewish people would turn to peace instead of war and depend upon the nations of the world to protect them instead of God to protect them. By the way, what do we depend on? Do we depend on God, or do we compromise with the world? And instead of doing right, we do wrong in order that we'll kind of get along. And you got to do wrong to get along. No, you don't. Do right, though the stars fall, like old Bob Jones says. Do right. Do what God wants you to do. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. The Jews didn't do that. And the Bible tells us that they're going to make peace. And in 1992, President Bush the First snubbed Yitzhak Shamir, the Prime Minister of Israel, who was willing to keep their land and not to give it up. And President Bush snubbed him. And when he came to America, President Bush, the father of our present president, he snubbed him. And he made sure that he didn't get elected because he liked the liberal guy that was going to be elected in 1993. He was the war hero of the Six-Day War. He's the one that retook the land. His name was Yitzhak Rabin, and he was a liberal, and he made peace with the Palestinians and with Yasser Arafat, who was a murderer. And some of you may have remembered when he shook hands with Yasser Arafat on the lawn of the White House. And Israel began to say, we're tired of war. We want to make peace, and that will give us peace. Can I tell you something? There is no peace when you compromise with the devil.
That's right.
There's no peace. You want peace, and you think you're going to get it through compromising? You'll never get it. By the way, as a preacher, I've tried that in my early ministry, to compromise, to give people what they wanted when it was not right, when it was, you know, and I found out I had war with God. I'd rather have war with you than war with God. Amen. I'd rather have war with man than have war with God. You remember those days. And Israel has not learned that lesson, because the Bible says that in the last days, just before the Lord comes back, they're going to want to make peace, and they're going to compromise to give up land for peace, and they're going to give up instead of God protecting them, they're going to depend upon the revived Roman Empire to protect them. And they are going to be really double-crossed. They're going to make a covenant or an agreement with death. And that all began to start taking shape in 1993. But wait a minute. The Israelite, the Jewish people, have looked to have land for peace. But not only is Israel back in their land, not only are they calling for peace, so we know it's the last days, but wait a minute. The Bible says in Daniel and in Revelation that in order for Israel to have the Lord come back, there has to be the revived Roman Empire come back together. And guess what? It's back together. It has to be under 10 heads. That's already happened. You know what? The Bible predicts that the revived Roman Empire would come together under 10 heads. And you know what? In 1998 in Vienna, the European Union created the office of a high representative for common foreign security policy and common foreign and security policy. And out of 1,150 documents in the Vienna meeting, the one that created the office of the one man that would represent the whole European Union was the recommendation 666. In October of 1999, a man by the name of Javier Solana of Spain was put into that office. And in October of 1999, Javier Solana was also made head of the European Council, which is the real seat of power over what I believe is the revived Roman Empire, the European Union. And then in November of 1999, get this, Javier Solana was made the head of the 10-nation Western European Union that controls the whole European Union. Do you know that the European Union from 1995 on has been under the control of a 10-nation group called the Brussels Treaty Powers? And that 10-nation group, I believe, fulfills the Bible prophecy of the revived Roman Empire under 10 nations, because those 10 nations control that, and those 10 nations have got one man to represent the whole European Union. That man, Javier Solana, is the present head of the European Union. And I'm not saying he is the beast out of the sea, but I'm saying he holds the office of the beast out of the sea. He very well could be. And do you know that the euro in 1999 became the currency of the European Union? And do you know the euro is kicking the dollar all over the place? Do you know that the European Union has 400 million plus people? They have almost double the people of the United States of America. And in 1995, Javier Solana, even before he took over the European Union, listen to this, he made an agreement with 15 European nations and 12 Mediterranean nations that they would come together as one economic union, and he formed them into an alliance which he has since strengthened. And if you look on a map at those nations, you see that the map equals the old Roman Empire. I'm simply saying to you tonight, not only has Israel come back to their land, not only are they now ready to make peace, but listen to me tonight, Israel now has the revived Roman Empire that is taking shape with a head representing that empire that came to power under recommendation 666. And later on, after he had those three offices, the council, the European Council, voted to give him emergency powers over the military of the European Union. And again, out of all the recommendations, it was recommendation 666 that brought him that particular power. And so, it's very interesting as we come down to Christmas time in the year 2007, November the 25th tonight, I believe we're very close, listen to me, for the last 7 years that Daniel predicted. And in those last 7 years, Jesus Christ is going to come back. And right now, as we're meeting in church, people are getting ready to go to Washington, D.C. And tomorrow in Washington, D.C., people are going to come from nations all over the world, and then they're going to move to Annapolis, Maryland on Tuesday, and it's going to be represented by 40 different nations from all over the world. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. Because I believe that this particular meeting is going to either bring about this last 7 years or is certainly going to move it forward greatly. And this group of people that are getting together in Annapolis, Maryland, they're all the Arab nations are getting together, all of the Arab nations, to quote unquote help Israel to make this peace agreement. And Israel has to give up land in order to make this peace agreement. Now, do you know that the Arab nations have already voted for Israel to go back to their original borders that the UN gave them back in 1948? And do you know that they've already voted for them to go back to their pre-1967 borders and give up land for peace? They've already done that. But the amazing thing is that Israel's going along with it. That Israel's inviting all these Arab nations. They want them to come. They want them to come. They're ready to make peace. Olmert wants to make peace. The Prime Minister of Israel, he's bending over backward. He's ready to compromise. Who's he trusting? The United Nations is going to be there. The head of the European Union, I've read an interview with him. He says that he will back them and help them if they do what's right. In other words, if they compromise and make peace. Javier Solana. I'm saying to you tonight that remember when the Israelites got together with the Palestinians back under Bill Clinton and they tried to make peace, and they had the meeting in Maryland to try to make peace, and Yasser Arafat refused to do it? You know one of the reasons why it didn't work? The Arab nations were not at that meeting. This is the first time in 7 years these two groups have even talked. But now all the Arab nations are going to be there. Do you know that Syria said, we won't go? The only way we will go is if Israel puts on the table that they'll give up the Golan Heights that they took back from us. That was in the 67 war. Then we'll go. And you know what? I just heard today, as I got on the news lines, that Syria is sending a representative. Even Syria is going to be there. They're all going to be there, folks. I am simply saying to you, there has never been a time more like this when the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27, when Israel will make a covenant with its enemies and Israel will give up land for peace, and Israel will get that. And if they have the opportunity to build a synagogue on their temple site where they can offer their offerings, they don't even have to build the whole temple. If they have an opportunity just to build a synagogue up on the temple site, and that's part of this agreement, that will be the agreement that the Bible talks about, no doubt, for the last 7 years where Christ will come back. Now, I'm saying to you, this is all going on at this time. It will start tomorrow. It will happen Tuesday. And these things are all coming together. It's interesting, though. It's interesting that it has been 60 years since Israel became a nation, and the UN voted for them to be dividing up land for peace. And then 40 years after the 67 war, it's been. And, you know, all of this pressure that's coming on Israel to do this, you would expect this to come from Javier Solana. You would expect this to come from the head of the United Nations. But do you know where most of the pressure is coming on Israel to give up land for peace and to make this big peace agreement? By the way, Javier Solana, the head of the European Union, when we attacked Iraq, The European nations were kind of split up about who to back, United States or not back the United States. They were kind of split on it. Javier Solana wanted to unite them, and so he wrote a whole thing on foreign policy. It was so brilliant that the United States bought into it. And now the United States is working with the European Union in concert and with this guy who is, I believe, holding the office of the beast. You know who is putting on the most pressure? George W. Bush. Here's an American president. Here is a Christian, I believe. How important it is that we know the prophecies of the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what, if you put pressure on Israel to give up their land for peace, you are helping prophecy to be fulfilled. And eventually there's going to be that agreement that's going to bring in the last 7 years. It's called a covenant with death. But woe be to you if you help the beast to destroy Israel, and that's where the United States is. Do you know the United States is helping to rebuild Babylon?
That's right.
Which is going to be the greatest one world government. You say, Pastor, you don't sound very patriotic. You check out Jeremiah. He didn't sound very patriotic either when he preached to Judah. They arrested him. They called him not a patriot. I love my country. But it's one country under God, and when we forsake the God of the Bible, and we forsake, I'm going to warn this country, turn back to God, get back to the Bible, or God will destroy you or hurt you. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I want you to think about this tonight, because we're thinking about prizing prophecy of the Word of God. You remember there was an Israeli war hero. He was a hero of the 1973 Yom Kippur War. He was responsible for Israel when they were almost defeated, breaking through with his tanks in the south and the Sinai, and breaking through the Egyptian line and defeating the Egyptians. His name is Ariel Sharon. He was a war hero. He was elected another prime minister of Israel. He told the Israelis, he said, go and settle the West Bank. He said, it's the promised land. He said, you'll never be removed from that land. That's God's land. And the people believed him and they settled that land. Ariel Sharon, under pressure from George W. Bush and the Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and those guys in that administration, Ariel Sharon not only gave up land for peace, he sent his army to evict his people out of their homes. And some of you remember seeing that on the news just a few years ago when the army came in. They were dragging these Israeli settlers, the Israeli army dragging the settlers out of their homes, screaming and crying. They took them out of their homes. And right after that, Ariel Sharon, you remember it, was struck down and went into a coma. I believe he's still in a coma. He's not dead. He's in a coma. Listen, this is serious business. And right after that, the Bush administration had put that pressure on Sharon to do that. Do you remember Katrina? Do you remember all those people that lost their homes and they were being pulled by helicopters out of the floodwaters? And I remember a man lost his wife in the floodwaters and all these people and all this death. And remember the Bush administration, the blame that they took for that? Now, I'm not saying that they were to blame for protecting all those people necessarily. But what I am saying to you is, I know how to connect the dots. Do you? See, the people in Jesus' day, when he came the first time, they didn't know how to connect the dots. Some of them knew certain scriptures, they knew prophecy, but they couldn't connect the dots. And they missed him. They missed his coming. They weren't really ready for his coming. They weren't like Simeon. And they weren't like Mary that pondered it in her heart. And I want to say to you tonight, I want you to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I want you not to be taken by surprise. We've got a whole bunch of American Christians that think that the rapture is going to happen before this covenant even happens. Because this covenant begins the last 7 years, and they believe that that's all the tribulation, that we're going to be raptured before that 7-year tribulation. And for one thing, the 7 years is not the tribulation. The tribulation doesn't begin until the middle of it. They're wrong on that. And the Bible says the rapture is not going to happen until the wrath of God, and the wrath of God doesn't happen until sometime in the second 3.5 years. They're wrong on that.
Amen.
The Bible says the book of Revelation is written that we might know the things which are going to come to pass one after the other. And it's time, if you're saved, that you start really realizing how valuable this book is, that it's a manual, that it's a guide for you in the last days, and that you're ready to meet the Lord because He is coming back very, very, very soon. And what a sad thing it is to see that this giving up land for peace is going on even as we speak. You say, well, is it really that important? Is God really against Israel dividing up their land to get peace? Now listen to me. I believe at this agreement, the Bible says that there's going to come a great falling away at the beginning of the 7 years, and that falling away will involve giving up land for peace. And I believe that that if this agreement is finalized, it may not be finalized tomorrow and the next day. It may take a year. They're saying it may take a year, and by next year, before Bush leaves office, they'll finalize it. But whenever that agreement is finalized, if it allows for the temple site, and if Israel has to depend upon the European nations for security and the nations of the world for security, that is the beginning of the last 7 years that's going to come upon us. And that could happen either right now, or it could happen within the next year. Now, something could happen to stop that. Something could happen to delay that. But I want to tell you that God is against giving up land for peace. In fact, turn back to Joel chapter 3 a moment. Joel chapter 3. And I want to show you what the Bible says when the Lord judges the nations that come against Israel during the last 7 years. In Joel chapter 3, look what it says in verse 2 about why He judges those nations. Look what it says. He says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. And notice this. What's the next three words? Those of you that have it. Parted my land. What is that? Isn't that what they're doing right now? Parting the land. Bush administration says, I want Israel to leave the occupied territories. He supported a resolution. Get them to leave. Parting their land. Give back the West Bank to the Palestinians. Give back Gaza. Parting the land. That's the land of Israel. That's the promised land. Parting the land. Why? To get peace. Well, they've got a good motive. We want peace. Okay, but God says that angers me when you part my land for peace. Over in Daniel 11:39, you don't have to turn there. It says of the Jewish Antichrist that he will divide the land for peace. In Daniel 11:39. It says in Proverbs 22:28 and Proverbs 23:10, God says, don't remove the ancient landmarks. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. Now listen. Somebody says, I don't know how there could be peace in the Middle East. There's too much war over there. I don't believe there can be peace. Well, let me tell you something tonight. The Bible predicts that when this covenant of Daniel 9:27 is signed, it's going to be a false peace. It's not going to be a peace that will hold. The Jews will have their head in the sand like an ostrich. They want to believe this peace. Like many liberals, they want to believe a lie. Like Neville Chamberlain, when he came back from Adolf Hitler, he held a piece of paper up and he met with Hitler in Munich, Germany. And he held up a paper in 1939. And I remember seeing him come off the plane in these old newsreels. And he goes, I've just met with Herr Hitler and it's peace in our time. And right after that, Hitler invaded Poland and World War II was started. The Jewish people are going to have a false peace. And this could very well be what it's all about. And I want you to turn to what the Bible says will be a great war after a false peace. And turn to Ezekiel chapter 38 a moment. Ezekiel chapter 38. And And I want to show you this false peace that the prophet Ezekiel predicted. He predicted in chapter 36 and 37 what I just told you about, that Israel would come back to their land, and in the last days they'd be established as a nation. But then in chapter 38 and 39, he tells about a false peace leading to war. And look at verse 8 of chapter 38. It says, "After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell," what? "Safely, all of them." That's the false peace. Who's the nation that's going to come down on them? Here's what it is. The nations of Magog and its allies, headed by a man named Gog, and these are the nations of the former Soviet Union and undoubtedly Russia and Turkey and Iran with Ahmadinejad and the Sudan and Libya and others, coming against Israel in a great military invasion right after this peace. So the Bible says at the beginning of the last 7 years, there'll be the head of like the European Union, and the Israelite nation will make peace with its Arab neighbors. They'll have the opportunity now, if they want, to worship on their temple site, and they will have what they think is peace. And the Bible says it's going to lead to a tremendous Russian, Iranian invasion into the land. I want you to notice not only 38:8, but look at verse 11. It says, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely." They think they're safe. "All of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." And look up with me at verse number 14. And it says, "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it?" Do you think Ahmadinejad knows that Israel is ready for peace at any price? Do you know that Ahmadinejad is developing nuclear weapons? He may already have them. He may already have the missiles to deliver them. It's possible that President Bush will strike him between now and March. That's very possible. That's possibly been on the table. But that is not going to stop this. You see, if he strikes Iran and knocks out their missiles, their ally Putin of Russia will rearm them and restock them, and they're just waiting for the opportunity for Israel to let down their guard. Do you not know that Russia has attacked Israel before? They backed Syria many, many times in the past. And the great Russian bear is ready to leap again. You see, it's time we prize the prophecies of the Word of God. Our president needs to listen to Bible-believing preachers that know this book right here. Because I'm telling you that there is cause for an alarm here. And I'm saying that what's going to happen is there is going to be a false peace in the Middle East. It could happen as a result of this summit that will be happening in Annapolis, Maryland. And that could begin the last 7 years. It could happen this year. It could happen next year. It could be delayed. But I'm saying that when it happens, it will begin the last 7 years. And all of these prophecies will be fulfilled, one after the other. And the first thing after this peace is there's going to be all kind of false Christs that are going to say that they're Christ. And the Jews are going to have false messiahs because they're going to begin their temple worship, and everybody's going to get excited about these things. And there's going to be peace. But right after that, the book of Revelation says there's going to be the red horse of war. And I believe the first part of that war will be this invasion of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, listen to me. What about America? I want you to look with me at Ezekiel 39 and verse 6. Ezekiel 39 and verse 6, and see what it says there. It says, Ezekiel 39, "And I will send fire on Magog," that's Russia, the former Soviet Union, "and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles." Now, the isles, listen to me, the isles are the lands that were far distant from Israel. They would be the farthest places away from the nation of Israel. What is the farthest place you can imagine away from Israel today? And who dwells carelessly? That means kind of in a carefree situation. If you watch Hollywood driving around in their Ferraris and getting drunk and partying, the United States of America is known for its prosperity and its careless attitude. Listen to me. God said, I will send fire not only on Russia and her allies, but I will send fire on those that dwell carelessly in the isles. I believe that's the United States and Canada and these areas of the world that are far distant. You say, what is that fire? I don't know what it is. It could be nuclear weapons. There's a lot of nuclear weapons out there that the former Soviet Union still has, that the U.S. has. I'm saying to you that God does not like it when we who've been raised up to get the gospel out, and we've been raised up to stand with Israel, and we have in the past, when we are now getting them to divide their land for peace. God said in the Jehoshaphat campaign just before Armageddon, the nations of the world are going to get it from me because they've done that. And do you think the United States of America is above God giving us a spanking? I don't think so. To whom much is given, much will be required. I am saying to you tonight, we could be very, very close to the end time scenario. We could be very, very close to this last piece and enter into those last 7 years. And you need to know what the Scripture says. You need to be in this place that you're ready to meet the Lord. You know, in soul winning we say, the second question, if you were to die and stand before God, you may not die, you may stand before God before you die. You may see Jesus coming back. Are you ready? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Because when He comes back, the Bible says there's going to be people that will shrink away from it as His appearing. There'll be people that will run away because they don't love His appearing. They don't want His appearing. They'll be like Herod. It will disturb them. They won't love it. Do you love the Lord's appearing? Are you looking for His appearing? If not, either you need to get saved or you need to get your heart right with the Lord and get your values where they ought to be. Because everything in this world during the day of the Lord, listen to me, ladies, Lot's wife needed this one. Everything in this world is going to be burned up. Amen. I don't care what you've got. It's all going to be burned up. It's not worth a hill of beans. And that, I believe, is going to happen in your lifetime. I'm not a prophet. I can't say for sure, but I know Bible prophecy. I've been studying it for 40 years. And I could say I've never been so urgent about the time of the end being near. And I want to tell you tonight, what that means to me is getting my spiritual house in order. That means getting my life right with God. That means getting anything out of my life that's sinful, anything out of my life that's holding me back. Because when the Lord deals with America, He's going to deal with that rock music crowd. You can mark it down. He's going to deal with that slut Hollywood crowd. You can mark it down. I don't agree with these Arab terrorists, but God's allowing them to hit us just like Rome. Rome couldn't defend itself. It couldn't defend its own borders against the barbarians, the greatest military power in the world. They had a welfare state in Rome at the last days of Rome, and they had the greatest, most powerful military in the world, and the barbarians kept overrunning them and defeating them. And we can't even protect our borders. Many believe, and testimony has been given before our leaders, that suitcase nuclear bombs out of the former Soviet Union have come across the Mexican border and are waiting in strategic locations throughout the United States. All I'm saying to you is, you say, Pastor, are you trying to alarm me? You have nothing to be alarmed about, because if you have the Lord as your Savior, you don't have a shaky foundation. You are on the rock. You might tremble on the rock. The rock is not going to tremble. The Lord is not going to be taken by any surprise. He can protect you through anything. And He likes to protect His soul winners until their time is up. But I'd be scared if I was not aggressively soul winning. I'd be scared if I was not wearing the standard of God's people and flying my flag for the Lord, I'd be scared. Because what you're trusting in and what you're relying upon is going to crumble like a house of cards. Now is the time to walk with your God and rely upon your God. And the Lord knows where you are. He will watch over you. He will take care of you until your time is up, and then you'll go to meet Him in the air. I'm excited about that. Christmas time. People get all excited about all these things during Christmas time. They kind of live in a fantasy world. I'm excited about the Christ of Christmas. I'm excited about the prophecies of the Word of God. I'm excited that I'm going to see Jesus face to face. His kingdom, joy to the world. He's going to establish His kingdom on this earth. The lion's going to lie down with the lamb. And you and I are going to take over the government of the world. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. But listen, if you're a child of God and you're squandering your life and you're wasting your life in backslidden and in carnality, you're not going to have many jobs to do for the Lord in the millennial kingdom. He gives that to faithful people. And tonight, I want to challenge you, be faithful to Him. He's coming very soon. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about Mary pondering these things in her heart, the power of God, pondering the price she'd have to pay, and pondering in her heart the Word of God so that she would perceive who Jesus really was, not just her boy, but the Son of God, the Messiah, and pondering the prophecies of His coming again. Tonight, I wonder, is there something you need to take care of? Do you need to get saved? Well, then tonight you go to the Lord. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need to lay down things in your life that have been holding you back? Then tonight you need to go to Him and get rid of those things. I don't know if they're cigarettes or music or marijuana or whatever it is. Or you need to change your dress and your crowd that you're hanging around with. And you need to hang around with God's crowd. Because I'll tell you what, when problems happen, I have people call me all the time. And they say, oh, Pastor, what's going on here? And they want answers. You're not going to get answers from your beer drinking buddies or your immoral buddies. You better come and be on God's side right now, because the world's side is going to be defeated when the Lord comes back. I wonder, you say tonight, preacher, I've got some things in my life that need to get ready for the coming of Christ. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand tonight? Just hold it up high. I'll see it and I'll pray for you tonight. Amen. Many of you tonight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do thank You tonight that Your Word tells us exactly what to expect. You don't lie to us. And Lord, we thank You that we can be optimists because we've read the last page of the book and we see who wins, and we've got the hero winning, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Your people tonight, that we would be on Christ's side, that we would take our stand with Him and get away from anybody that's a gossip and a slander and runs down soul winners and Christian people, or that's involved in immorality or ungodliness, Lord. I pray that we would take a stand and get away from it. I pray for anybody tonight that needs to run to Jesus and put their faith in Him to save them for the first time, that they would do that tonight. Help us, Father, to get ready to meet our God, Jesus Christ, who's coming for the second time at the last Christmas time, the second coming. Lord, we thank You. He came the first time and did everything You said He would do. And I know He'll come the second time. And that one prophecy will be left unfulfilled. Just help us to be ready, Lord. Help us to not miss it. We pray in His name. Amen.